Continual revival. And that's on page 13 in your workbook as the second lesson. And so our text, two quick verses for today, John 7, 37 and 38, and then Ephesians 5, 18. So if you're able, if you'd stand with me for the readings of God's word, and we'll look at it and then we'll pray. Guarding our hearts for revival, continual revival, John 7, beginning in verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And then Ephesians 5:18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much again for your word and the opportunity to gather together and to hear from you, and also to be challenged by you in our personal walk and lessons that you would have just, I know me and everyone, just to hear what you'd have to speak to us. Lord, today we just ask for just to understand that we need personal revival and really need it daily. Things can tend to bring us down, and we need to revive again in you. Lord, help us to forsake the sin that we continue in our lives. Lord, that we would be able to get those behind us and walk in obedience to your word. So, Lord, we pray for that. We just pray that we would choose the right attitudes and the right motives and just, again, guard our hearts, Lord. Thank you for your desire to do that and your ability to do that if we would only let you. So we ask a blessing on our time together. Help me get out of the way and just speak to each one of us as you would. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So you see in your overview there of today's lesson, it says, as children of God, we can and should live under the control of the Holy Spirit and experience a continual reviving in our hearts. And we've talked about that in other lessons, and it is kind of a recurring theme in a lot of teaching that, you know, we just need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and in tune with what God has for us. Continues, there must be a desire to be filled, a confession of sin, and yielding of oneself to the Holy Spirit's control. And it says, this simple process will result in the power of the Holy Spirit's working in our lives to give us ongoing spiritual victory. And I thought about that, and I got to disagree a little bit. I think it does give us ongoing spiritual victory, but I found that it sounds good, but it's not quite so simple. Amen? I mean, you know, our flesh and the challenges can get in the way too quickly. And sometimes too easily. But, you know, it's simple to say, harder to do. And so we just hope to get some tools, really, from these lessons to make it maybe more simple for us and able to follow. So God laid that on my heart, and there's just, I think, a good lesson to be learned as we do that. So, you know me, once I find a cute picture, I got to put it back up there. It looks like this might be the last time, but since it's again on guarding our hearts, you know, we want to and we need to protect our hearts. Obviously, physically, we did all those statistics, you know, last week on how amazing the heart is, but the spiritual heart especially needs protection sometimes. But we've got to seek that protection and follow God's leading to accept that protection. And that's what we're going to talk about today. It starts out with an illustration, kind of another amazing thing. And this is a picture of the mighty Amazon River and the river basin. And you look at that and, you know, it takes up over half the basin, over half the whole of South America. I mean, it's pretty amazing. And it's 4,000 miles long. It's a powerful body of water flowing into the Atlantic. This powerful mass of water begins as a mere trickle from the Andes Glacier. So way over on the left coast there, just, you know, high up in the Andes, just, you know, like somebody turned on a little spigot, and then boom, all these things start feeding into it. hundreds of tributaries pour their waters into it, causing the Amazon to carry more water than any other river in the world. So great is the Amazon's power that even when it reaches the Atlantic, the Amazon refuses to die. It floods the ocean with its muddy waters for up to 100 miles offshore. 100 miles, you know, from here to what? Vantage, maybe? You know, that water is still pushing in river form out into the ocean. Pretty crazy, excuse me. It floods the ocean with its muddy waters for up to 100 miles offshore. This amazing river begins with a mere trickle and ends over 90 miles wide. So not only does it go 100 miles out, it's 90 miles wide. Incredible. I'd like to go see that. Might have to add to my bucket list to go try to see that sometime. What an amazing transformation. What makes the Amazon so great and powerful? It's the tributaries that pour their waters into the river, filling and overflowing it. In other words, it just doesn't by itself. It's getting a lot of help from the tributaries. So what can make a seemingly small and insignificant child of God become so strong, full, and overflowing in their Christian life? It is simply the controlling of God, the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So just like that, if we allow him to feed us and be a tributary to us in his word and the prayers, then we can become mighty and powerful, just like the Amazon River is in the geography. God desires to work mightily in and through us by his Holy Spirit and through the work of revival. The subject of revival is very near and dear to the heart of God and to those who truly walk with him. It's not in your book, but Psalm 85:6 says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" You know, and that's part of the revival, just renewal, that we rejoice in God. As we saw in our last study, the word revive means to live again or have new life. God's desire and plan is for every believer to be continually filled by the Holy Spirit of God and to not walk in the flesh. There in your book, Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You know, it's kind of like one or the other. You know, and if we walk in the Spirit, this kind of should go without saying, then we won't follow after our lusts of our flesh. As children of God, we can and should live under the control of the Holy Spirit and experience a continual reviving in our hearts. Yet we cannot do this filling and reviving work on our own. There must be a desire to be filled, a confession of sin, and a yielding of oneself to the Holy Spirit's control. This simple process will result in the power of the Holy Spirit's working in our lives to give us ongoing victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Praise God. You know, I've been sharing a little bit. It seems we must have Satan's attention because there's a lot of attacks going on, you know. And I take perverse pleasure in that. Praise God that we got his attention enough that we're bugging him. and standing strong together is the way to keep him at bay. And so just encourage you in all that. Had another picture, a little different kind of filter on it, but this too is the Amazon River, and I just like, you know, for one, it's a pretty picture, but it just again shows that a little clearer the intricacies of how that gets fed and everything. And if I had a little more time, I thought, well, even our circulatory system, I would have put a picture. You know, it gets so involved in the little capillaries and little things, and how it just all flows together to our hearts, and to keep our hearts strong and our bodies strong. And I just wanted to put that up. But like tributaries flowing into the Amazon, it is God, the Holy Spirit, who fills us and takes control. It is God who can and will revive us to enjoy the Christian life to its fullest. There in your book, John 10:10, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Wow. What a promise and what an offer to us. Perhaps you've never received the life of which John 10:10 speaks. Maybe you've tried religion, works, self-improvement, or a man-made plan of salvation. none of these will give spiritual life. It's not, again, not in your book, but Ephesians 2:1 tells us, "And you hath he quickened." That is a phrase that simply means to be made alive. To be quickened is to be made alive. In John 4:16, Jesus says, John 4:14-6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And that's who we rely on for the truth and the life, and he is that way, and that's what makes us alive or quickened. You must see yourself as a sinner and recognize that your sin condemns you to separation from God in a place called hell. You must first turn to Christ. Abandon all else. Totally trust in Jesus Christ as payment for your sins. Receive him as your Savior. And you know, I'm quite sure I'm just preaching to the choir on all that, but if you have any questions about that and you're here today, please come talk to me afterwards. Because once you receive Christ, you have received life and are eternally secure in him. Yet many who have this life are far from enjoying the fullness of that life that Jesus gives us. They have settled for hamburgers when they should be enjoying steak. I thought of that, and I thought, okay, what if there's vegetarians out here? But I couldn't come up with a good, settling for carrots instead of radishes. I don't know what it would be. Hamburger and steak, you know, is a good picture of settling. And Jesus wants us to have the steak. Amen. He wants us to have the meat of the word and reliance on him. Some people settle in for the long haul and determine not to be surrendered. They are not willing to be broken before the Lord. These people want to remain unchanged or remain a trickle, not willing to empty themselves of the weight and the sin in their lives which hinder the tributaries of God's almighty power and presence from flowing through them. If you desire to be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit, and will allow the Spirit to give you a fresh reviving, we'll look at 5 steps this morning that you can take, which will allow you to keep or to guard the work of God in your life and to enjoy continual revival. So, Roman numeral 1, keep yourself from the accursed thing. Well, that's an interesting title, and we'll look at that. Keep yourself from the accursed thing. Most of you will be familiar with the story, I'm sure, in Joshua 6. Israel had just entered the promised land and faced the stronghold of Jericho, the first step and the march into the round and the blowing of the trumpets. You know the story. God gave Joshua a plan to defeat Jericho, and a great victory took place. Joshua warned all the people not to take anything out of Jericho. And it's there in your book, Joshua 6:18. Keep yourselves from the accursed thing. In other words, you know, this is an evil place. Don't take anything from it. One man, Achan, disobeyed, and his sin brought defeat in the next battle at Ai. When Achan's sin was discovered and he was confronted, his explanation was that I saw, I coveted, and I took. Just how sin grows in our lives. Good example. The story is there in your workbook, Joshua 7:21. And he said, "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian-ish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it." So at least he admitted his sin, but it did have consequences. 36 men died as a result of his sin. Your sin affects others. Even one seemingly small sin can rob us of victory and cause defeat. And I thought, you know, that might be a fair sum of money that he got. I kind of looked it up, and the silver's only worth about $60, but 50 shekels of gold can be quite. But compared to the riches, obviously, this whole city would have, is, hey, it's a drop in the bucket. Nobody's going to notice. You know, and sometimes we think like that. It's just a little thing. But it had terrible consequences, and so we need to guard against that. Hebrews 12:1 in your book. "Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." Need to be aware. The Christian person who truly wants to be a godly individual must guard themselves from the accursed thing. stay away from those accursed things. There's a good time-lapse photography picture. That compresses a series of events into one picture. And this is such a photo. The picture captures the brilliant lightning that is throughout the duration, and just makes a beautiful, beautiful picture. The example there is that the time-lapse technique created a fascinating spaghetti-like web out of the individual bolts. And in such a way, our sin presents itself before the eyes of God. I thought, wow. But we see only isolated or individual acts. God sees the overall web of our sinning. That just really struck me. We know God is outside of time and sees all. And when he looks and he sees all my sins laid out, that's a little more imposing than thinking the one little mishap or misdeed I did. And it just kind of saddened my heart personally to think, yeah, he looks down and sees all that. And he loves me anyway, and he forgives all that. It's just a real beautiful picture of what God does for us. Because in such a way, what may seem insignificant, even sporadic to us, and passes with hardly a notice, creates a much more dramatic display from God's panoramic view when he looks. The psalmist in 19:12-13 was right when he wrote, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins." Begging God to just cleanse his heart, as we need to do as well. Everyone knows where their greatest struggles and temptations lie. And they're probably different for each one of us. But we know what they are. And we deal with them, hopefully, and confess them and try to get over them, I guess is the word for the day. 1 Corinthians 10:13 in your book. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Wow. Sometimes I know in my life, I think, well, I just can't avoid it, can't stop it. But God, maybe I missed God's path to get out of it, but it's there because his word promises it. By God's power, you can say no to sin. Sin is a choice. And keep yourself from the accursed thing. When you do sin, confess it. And notice I said when, not if. Unfortunately, we're going to sin. But the key is to confess it. Right away and deal with it. Because his promise to us is there in 1 John 1:9 in your book. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. Just having that whole storm wiped out. It's a wonderful thought. So, we have keep yourself from the accursed thing, Roman numeral 2, is keep yourself from idols. Okay, there we go. Keep yourself from idols. In your book, 1 John 5:21, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen." Kind of just short and sweet. Just do it. Amen. Many people think they have no idols in their lives. We don't have carved or wooden images, no ceramic or metal statues. But anyone or anything that takes priority or preeminence over God is an idol. Idols can abound in our lives. Computers, TV programs, sports, hobbies, recreational activities, and friends. Even a car or a pickup truck could be an idol. Do you spend more time washing, working, and tinkering on that vehicle than you spend with the Lord? You spend more time on Facebook than we do face-to-face with God. Just things that are good to think about. None of those things are bad in themselves, but what are we doing neglecting God in the process? For many, money is an idol. Their checkbook might be their idol, and it's just, obviously that's an obvious one there in your book, 1 Timothy 6:9-11. "But they that will be rich fall into temptation In other words, not that they might become rich, but they're willing. That's what they're after. And a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Wow, some pretty clear instruction on what we should pursue after rather than money. It's well down the list, probably not even on God's list, to be honest with you. We had a wonderful testimony at the men's breakfast from Brother Vince and about this very thing and just how God watched over him through some dark times and prideful things. And it was just really good. And because God is faithful. God is faithful. When we fail to put the Lord first, anything we put before him is an idol. In your book, Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. It's a real good verse right there on putting him first. Idols occupy our time in such a way that they keep us from surrendering to the Lord and living our lives by his priorities. What idol occupies your life? What idol occupies my life? What takes the place of Christ having preeminence in your heart, robbing you of precious time in the Word and with the Lord? Even seemingly small idols need to be dealt with. It's not in your book, but 1 John 5:21 says again, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. We did see it earlier. And as you become spiritually revived, determine to keep old idols from creeping back into your life. You know, a lot of times I know I can get, you know, I can get a current victory, but it wants to come back, you know, and it'll keep trying as long as I keep letting it. Finally, you know, try to stop it and cut it off. Roman numeral 3, keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm getting ahead of it, aren't I? There we go. Don't want you working ahead on me. All right, keep yourself in the love of God. Jude 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Just real, again, real clear, simple instruction. I thank God that his love for me is an unconditional love. That means it's always there, no matter how I mess up. But I must keep my love and affections upon my Lord. This is a daily moment by moment choice. You got to do it day by day, moment by moment. It was said of a very commendable church in Ephesus in Revelation, there in your book, Revelation 2:4, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You know, we certainly don't want to hear that from the Lord, do we? That we left our first love. Do you still have a fresh, powerful love for Christ like you did when you accepted him as your Savior? How easy it is to allow our love for the Lord to grow cold. I mean, just by familiarity or get, you know, just getting used to it, you know, but we need to keep that fresh and keep that in mind, that how much he loves us and how much we love him, and tell him that. It's a daily thing. Your book, Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. No quicker way to break fellowship with God than to allow sin into our lives and to have control. Sin would abound. You know, we don't want anything to do with the Word of God. That's just kind of our spirit rebels against that. Get it back in order. Colossians 3:1-2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Keep our focus and eyes on him. So where are our affections? Do you love what you focus on? Keep yourself in love with the Lord through daily reading of his word, communion in prayer, and fellowship with your Lord, talking to him. And faithfulness to God's house, fellowship with other believers. There you go. That's a trophy for all of you this morning. Christ established the church and commanded us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The instruction to do. Hebrews 10:25. And there in your book, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. as I mentioned earlier, I see the day approaching, you know. And yeah, I've seen it for 30 years now, but I tell you what, it feels a lot closer than when I started 30 years ago. It's approaching. These disciplines of the word, prayer, and church attendance will make a great difference in keeping your love for the Lord revived and growing strong. So Roman numeral 4, keep his words. Keep his words. John 14:23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Again, you know, so many of these are just so quick and simple. Just, hey, if you do this, do this. You know, again, it sounds simple, and I know, and it reads simple, but it obviously harder, or he wouldn't have to be telling us all the time. But that's why we read the Word and get in the Word, to be reminded and to get encouraged to do that. Not in your book, 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge or understanding of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can only do that by spending time with him in the Word and in prayer. Obedience to God's Word will keep your heart in a spirit of revival. Rebellion and disobedience from children bring conflict and struggles in the home. Anybody have to deal with that ever, raising kids up? Whew, you know. Tell you what, I see it a lot worse. I'm glad I'm not raising kids right now. I pray for the parents and people and grandparents that are doing so. It's not easy. And especially when they get rebellious or disobedient. It's just, it hurts our heart. Amen? Hurts my heart to see it in other families. And so we deal with that. But likewise, when we willfully disobey God's word and rebel in our hearts, it brings turmoil and conflict in our lives. Our walk with God becomes frustrating and broken. So what's easy to see in kids sometimes isn't so easy to see in our own hearts. And that's what we need to deal with first, is to get our own hearts straight. Acts 5:32 in your book. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. You know, a lot of times we don't do a thing he tells us, and then we expect him to bless us. But he wants us to obey him first, and the blessings will follow. I've seen it over and over and over just in my own life. Walking in obedience and keeping God's word brings peace and revival to our souls. Disobedience quenches and grieves the Holy Spirit, rendering his power in our lives inoperative. Stay revived by keeping his word. Keep his word. In Roman numeral 5, keep your heart. Keep your heart. Proverbs 4:23, there in your workbook. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep our heart for God. This is the final key to experiencing continual revival in our lives. We must keep or guard and protect our hearts from any wrong attitude or motive. Check our motive, check our attitude, make sure we're on the same page that the Holy Spirit wants us to be. So often, we can find our hearts filled with anger, bitterness, and strife, and thus we quench or grieve the indwelling Holy Spirit. Kind of just almost like putting chains around him, you know, and he can't really operate like he'd want to because we've done it, not him. And of course, he can break through those chains if we let him and allow him to work in our lives. Be so very careful to protect your heart and your heart attitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, there in your book, quench not the Spirit. Don't lock him up. Don't quench him. Don't put out that fire. And Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know about you, but I can and I do grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You know, that ought to, one, keep us humble and keep us repentant and again, seeking revival. God, I don't want to hurt your feelings anymore, you know. And so we need to do that. Often the greatest battle we face with our attitudes is in our homes, with our wives and our children. Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And again, this lesson was written, originally for men, and that's obviously a verse. But there's you know, verses in there for the ladies and for the wives, you know, and about submission to God first, and the rest will follow. But maintaining a right and loving spirit toward our spouses is essential to keeping the fires of personal revival glowing in our hearts. And I can certainly, again, unfortunately speak from experience. You know, if I'm even in just a mental conflict with Kathy, or, you know, maybe we've had some words, you know, the first thing I need to do is turn to God's word and turn to God. If I don't, it's kind of like, you know, let's pick this up later, you know, type thing. And it's, so there's, we cause strife by not going to God first with it. And then with the kids, Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You know, we don't want to discourage our kids. They get enough of that out there already. So we should be picking them up, not discouraging them or provoking them. So check how our attitude is in our homes. Are you guarding your heart toward these vital relationships? We need to guard it and guard our heart and our family's heart and stay close-knit, especially nowadays. And that goes to the church family as well. You know, if you don't have kids or whatever, that doesn't matter. We've got church family to guard our hearts with and to protect and to be with and not provoke, but to come alongside. So in conclusion, we can enjoy continuing revival in our lives as we live out these five keys to staying revived. Number one, keep yourself from the accursed thing and besetting sins. Number two, keep yourself from idols, anything that takes the place of God. Number three, keep yourself in the love of God through the word of God, prayer, and in church attendance. And four, keep his word. Walk in obedience. And then finally, keep your heart by guarding your attitude. Don't just be a trickle, living the Christian life in your own strength. Allow the tributaries of God's power and presence to fill you and to fill us and to fill our church, as we're all tributaries to one another and to what the Holy Spirit's doing here. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for your word and Lord, just the challenge that your loving word gives us and presents to us. Lord, I pray that we would just learn to guard our hearts and to towards continued revival, that we would just be revived and encouraged daily by you. Certainly, we find that, I think, and at least for me, when I come to church, I get revived. I hear your word preached and taught and go through lessons, and it does help. Lord, I just pray that we would look to that, more of that, as we go through our weeks and our days and our moment by moments, that when we need you, we know we can find you. We can open your word. We can talk to you directly in prayer and have fellowship with you to be revived and to be strengthened and encouraged. Thank you, loving Father, for doing that. Lord Jesus, that you just want that close relationship with us. What a wonderful privilege you've given us. I pray we would all learn to avail ourselves of that privilege and to take advantage of it and to live our Christian life to its fullest in honoring you and helping to be examples and win others to you. So thank you for that word this morning, Lord. We do pray for the service to follow, just for Pastor Josh, and especially in light of a tough week in so many ways and challenges. Bear him up, I pray. We thank you for watching over him and his beautiful family. So, Lord, just bless him, strengthen him, and all of those that support him and love him. We are so grateful for this church that does that. Praise your name and ask your blessing on all that can come. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You are out way early. You can have a second donut hole this morning. So, thanks for coming.